Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
And that is us as we roll right in on a Tuesday evening. And what an exciting time of year. As you just heard on the Hurricane Hotline, a great list of guests that they had on recruiting-wise. And we'll follow the same because this is it. A couple years ago, somebody asked me, I see you're busier in the off season than you are during the season. And you are, because of now kind of tying up the 2019 class of football recruits and our National Signing Day, which will happen 2 weeks from tomorrow. And we will have a place for the kids who sign. Who either signed back in December or will sign on the 6th of February. We have a place for you to go to celebrate, and we're going to tell you more about it. And we'll have it on our SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com website. That's SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Go to WQAM.com. Find us, our little icon there, and you'll have a huge world of recruiting and daily recruiting and features and lists. And today we had a look at the class of 2022 in high school, which are freshmen, but you know what? It's South Florida. I mean, freshmen are playing a major role. And then next year, as sophomores, they do even more. Tonight, we're going to blanket recruiting in about 8:45 or so. Andrew Ivins will join us from 247 Sports, Inside the U. Always in tune to what's going on, and I know we have a lot of questions. You know, he'll have a lot of answers, so you'll want to, if you're a Hurricane fan, you want to check that out. About 8:30, or about that area, Corey Bender from Gators Territory, University of Florida, winning some major battles, losing a couple of coaches, but they're winning some major battles in recruiting. We're going to talk to Corey about Florida, so if you're a Gator fan, you want to kind of stick right by your radio or your computer or wherever, or your phone or wherever you may be listening to us on the radio.com app. About 8:20 or so, Chad Wilson, former University of Miami Hurricane, runs Gridiron Studs, has two kids play football. He's been through the process. His older son, Quincy, plays for the Indianapolis Colts, and his younger son, Marco, recovering for an injury at University of Florida. So we'll talk to him about the process. But we kick things off this evening. Easily one of the hottest teams in the country when you've only lost once in 2 years, and I think they got some pretty decent respect this year playing LSU, and UCF is parlaying that. Coach Josh Heupel's out, Randy Shannon, everybody possible, using what has happened over the last couple years. What a magical run, not over, and they're certainly in line for some tremendous recruits. They already got a couple that are in the fold. We're looking forward for February 6th. Jason Beatty, who covers them on a daily basis, he was out at the bowl game. UCF analyst and just a really good guy and very knowledgeable, joins us this evening. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time. And I know when we had you on last, we're kind of parlaying everything that went on through the last couple years. Now you have a major bowl game against a major team that you guys hung tough throughout the game. How's that helped, and in this recruiting process?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's always big to play in the New Year's Six Bowl, regardless of the result. Playing and showing up against a SEC powerhouse like LSU, it says a lot about UCF. I mean, talk about your show this evening. We're leading off with UCF. 2 years ago, I don't think that would have been the case. Maybe 3 years ago, definitely not. But here we are. Anyways. New Year's Six Bowl, I mean, that's huge. That shows, I mean, even though the winning streak did end, it shows that this staff is good at coaching. It was not, a lot of things could have gone wrong, as you see across the state. It's harder than It's harder than you imagine when you hand over the Ferrari and say, right, "Don't crash this." That can be difficult for some coaches. But Josh Heupel came in and he went even faster in his Ferrari and led UCF to a New Year's Six Bowl. And although they fell to LSU with Dale Mack in behind Mackenzie Milton, who suffered a horrible injury, that's huge. That's big for the recruits playing on the big stage at a school like UCF.
You know, Jason, when you take a look at it, and I was in Orlando in the days after, I think when UCF actually landed, because I was there for the Under Armour football game. And, I was listening to the way that they respond and the fans respond and how the local talk show hosts actually really tell, that's a Gator area. How dare you say that the UCF team is anywhere in the league with an SEC team? And, they made some valid points. About the program, and everyone was, they shouldn't be competing. But if they were in the SEC, they would be recruiting just like LSU and Alabama and everybody else because they'd have to. So that would be the reasoning, and I understand, but what UCF has been able to do, just with, the limited drawing power before, remember Scott Frost in his first year, it wasn't a really good deal. But then all of a sudden things started to progress, and he used a lot of talent. This is not like starting a program in North Dakota. This is Florida, where you could, tap into some pretty decent pipelines. And I know fans of Jaguars are upset, but when Blake Bortles was at UCF, he certainly did pretty darn good. So I look at guys like that. I look at the Perrymans and the players that come out of that program, and it should be a really easy sell. I'm not saying you're going to get Power 5 kids every single day, but this recruiting cycle, as we head to February 6th, what does UCF have? Are they in some battles where they could win and fill out the roster? Because I heard that they've done pretty well so far.
Yeah, you mentioned the Under Armour All-American game. You saw Morris crash. How does that happen?
How about that?
Live on ESPN2, signs with UCF, or announces that he signed with UCF. Right now they're number one in the American. They're approaching a top 50 class. You mentioned that if they were in the SEC, they'd be recruiting like SEC schools. Well, they also have the money that SEC schools have and the TV contract. So,
no doubt. 64,000 students, Jason. 64,000 students on one darn campus, I'd say. And you, if you go up to UCF, you still have twice as much land to build on. It's amazing. Yeah. I've never seen a school so large in my life.
And it doesn't feel big. It's big and there's a lot of students, but it's a really modern campus. It's an easy, like you said, it's an easy sell. In addition to a winning program, and you're going to win conference championships, and you have the potential of moving one day in the next 3, 4, 5 years into a Power 5 program, you're 30 minutes from Disney World, you're 30 minutes from the beach, and you can win football. That's an easy sell for me. You got to look at Adrian Medley, who signed in December. He picked UCF over Texas A&M and a few other major schools. You mentioned the pipelines and just in the state of Florida, locally recruiting, just around the corner,
Yeah.
Right now they have about 4 spots left for this year's class. And they've landed, obviously last week they landed Brandon Wimbush, which turned a lot of heads, and Notre Dame quarterback.
Yeah.
Picking UCF. Who would have ever imagined that?
Nobody.
Let alone nobody. Notre Dame and UCF are in the same sentence. Something is happening, and that's big.
Yeah,
that
turned
a lot of heads.
You make a good point, too. You're up there and but how much effort by Danny White or by the president or whatever is there moving forward to try to get into a conference like the ACC or the Big 12 or whatever? Just something where this team can, because you look at the sports programs at UCF and they're pretty good. You have a University of Miami guy coaching baseball who's done extremely well up there. The women's programs do very well. The men's basketball team more than holds their own. Is there a real push, Jason, to maybe see this in the next couple of years where UCF can get in that Power 5 conference? Because they're certainly a media hub, no doubt, and they're an area where they're a destination.
Yeah, Danny White always says it. They're building a top 25 athletics program, and that's more than just a good football team. That's more than just a good men's basketball team. And you mentioned you mentioned baseball with Greg Lovelady, and you, I mean, you didn't even mention the men's soccer team and the women's soccer team, yeah. And some of the other athletic programs are not always the top of what you see in an athletic program. But when Danny White says they want to build a top 25 athletics program, I mean, UCF, I always joke, stands for under construction forever, and they're always expanding, they're always building, and that's a good problem. And in terms of, I think they want to see a playoff expansion sooner rather than later, but I think in terms of getting invited to a bigger conference, you know, that's one of the things you always see on Twitter. Just join a conference. Like, oh, Danny White's going to wake up tomorrow morning and call someone and write a check.
Yeah.
So, you know, the conferences also want to have to expand. If you remember a few years ago with the Big 12, that whole debacle and how it just, oh, maybe we want to expand, maybe we don't want to expand. And I know there's a lot of money involved.
Sure.
But you've got to imagine, like you said, for the reasons in terms of being a large media market and being a big brand like UCF, being Orlando's hometown team, that UCF's the top of the list of the next school to be invited to a Power 5 conference that wants to expand. And I think there is a strong push. I mean, when out in Arizona, President Whitaker, Dale Whitaker, who's the new president of UCF, John C. Hitt retired. He was president for a very long time. UCF. Yeah. Dale Whitaker is very supportive of the football program and athletics in general. He was out in Arizona. He did an interview with Mike Bianchi, the Atlanta Sentinel, and he believes the playoffs are going to be expanded because of what UCF has done.
Well, I like to hear that.
In addition to multiple things, but because of the push from UCF and just this whole winning streak and how it ended with not being in the playoffs, it's big. I think the future, just because the winning streak is over, doesn't mean the winning culture of UCF is far from over.
No, I agree. Jason, before we let you go, along those lines, somebody had mentioned to me, you take four, and to me, it's all about making money in the conference. And if you take four large media hubs like Houston, Cincinnati, Memphis, and Orlando, I mean, come on. Those are four. Yeah. The SEC has like little one horse towns. I mean, when you think about it, when you look at Gainesville, very small. All these areas. Athens is, you know, outside of Atlanta. It's not Atlanta. I mean, it's why I said if you could interject with these four programs, not so much in the SEC, but anywhere in a Power 5 environment, I mean, you're helping yourself. But I'm getting off on it. I know people get angry and probably yelling at their radios now. Ah, they don't need to be. But Jason, again, thanks so much for taking the time. If now everybody's going to want to follow you, all the UCF fans, how are they going to be able to follow you over the next couple weeks?
Yeah, this past weekend was pretty big. We got another weekend of official visits coming up. If you want all the inside scoop, I'm posting an article tonight about this past weekend and what's going to come. Check me out, Knights247.com, on Twitter, @TheRealBeedy. My last name is D as in boy, EEDE, Knights247, for all your UCF recruiting news.
Good stuff. Jason, again, thanks so much. Anytime, you know that, man. You come strong, and you come with the truth, and everybody likes to hear it. And we'll talk to you very soon. And go Knights!
Charge on. Thank you.
Jason Beatty, UCF. If there's so many different arguments, about that. But to me, it's all about making money. And if you have media hubs, like I just mentioned, it would only make sense. Huge show this evening. Don't forget 8:45, Andrew Ivins, Hurricane fans. You want to check that out. Corey Bender is going to be here about 8:30. Gators, all the Gator fans want to find out some recruiting. When we come back, we talk to Chad Wilson, Gridiron Studs, former University of Miami defensive back, right after this. Radio.com. Radio.com. Back with you on a Tuesday evening, Larry Bluestein and Danny G, back behind the mic. I love that guy, man. He's one of the ardent Cane fans, great sports guy, always come in here early, and we pick each other's brain. Very knowledgeable guy. I like to have him behind the glass. Thanks so much to Jason Beatty from UCF for joining us in our first segment, and as we take you up until 9 o'clock this evening, again, 8:45, Hurricane fans, you want to kind of listen in a little bit. Andrew Ivan's going to join us 247 Inside to You, kind of recapping what's been going on. A lot has been going on. If you're a Portal fan, Corey Bender from Gators Territory, you want to know a little bit about the Gators, you can listen in, and Corey will tell you everything. But if you want to know about the Gators and everybody else, our next guest is more than able to talk about him. Chad Wilson, former University of Miami defensive back, a great guy, tremendous teacher, coach, has done an awesome job. He evaluates talent, gridiron studs, pushes kids, promotes them, has two pretty decent kids of his own, one Quincy, who is with the Indianapolis Colts, and Marco is rehabbing from last year's injury with the Gators. He joins us this evening. Thanks so much for taking the time, Chad, and welcome to our show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Larry. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. This is kind of an unusual time because the last couple of years we went through this early signing, late signing. So you hadn't really been through that as a father, but you have been that as an advisor, as somebody who coaches a lot of these kids. Talk about what this time is like, because here you just had, 75% of the country kind of sign the early period, leaving this last 30 for last minute guys and schools like Miami that kind of needed it pretty well. Talk about that and what a game plan probably for these schools have been since December 19th.
Well, rather quickly, the December signing period has superseded the one in February, you know, the one we all grew up on, where, you know, it seems like more of the top names are just going to hit getting it done in December, leaving, like you said, about 25% and less bigger names in the for the February period. So this part now for the college coaching staffs is one half theft as you try and go and steal guys who may be leaning or committed elsewhere.
Right.
And the other half just trying to follow up and get your last bit of research in on guys that you felt could play for your program but were not necessarily a priority,
right?
For that December, which, you know, it sounds kind of harsh for some of the kids that are still sitting out there, but that is the case. Those are the brutal facts. You know, you weren't tier one doesn't mean you can't go there and surprise some people. But now they're just trying to really shore up and strengthen areas that they weren't able to strengthen in December.
You know, Chad, it seems like the NCAA, which kind of like prohibits almost everything, seems to be in on this little thing of making this period right now kind of exciting, because now you have this transfer portal. You have all these, you know, these senior kids who have graduated. They have that extra year to play,
right,
and they're doing grad transfers. So it's kind of like, like you said, a lot of the guys are spoken for, but this is where you become creative. This is where you become, you know, show how many contacts you may have had along the way. Talk about that, because I think that this is one of the interesting times, because now, you know, you as an University of Miami alumnus, you're looking at a guy like Manny Diaz and his staff are picking up, you know, grad transfers, guys that want to come here all the time. So this is kind of an exciting time. Talk about that for you, how you're perceiving that.
Well, the NCAA has been a lot more user-friendly, let's say, over the last few years with some of the moves they've made, you know, adding the extra signing day, the whole redshirt rule that they put in last year, which was effective this year, and then the whole transfer portal, which has taken on a life of its own, which I'm all for the freedom of movement for the kids, especially since coaches are freely hopping around to other programs. The only thing I think I may have a problem with, and I don't know, you know, if the NCAA is necessarily promoting this, and they may want to, you know, make some moves to stop it, is just how open the transfer portal is in terms of the public knowing. You know, I think it interrupts the process, you know, for those kids when it gets put out there, because then, you know, the media gets involved, and then of course Twitter has their opinions on where it can go and could go. And I think it might start to affect the process if it hasn't already for some of those kids, and I just don't think that should be a part of this whole thing. But like I said, these are user-friendly things. Miami's certainly making great use of it. You've gotten a quarterback or two out of it, and you're filling some gaps on the roster, and I think they've kind of led the way in doing that and making full use of the transfer portal. I think they're right now the poster.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so yeah, and if you've had a coaching change and Manny Diaz feels like there's some areas on the roster that need strengthening and you get a chance to go get a player that has some kind of college experience, whether they played a little or they were just practicing with a college team. So that's one step above just grabbing a kid right out of high school. So, and I know all about that because, you know, I came to Miami from another program
that's
having
right.
played Division I football, and, you know, I think that made me attractive to them since there was, you know, a perceived roster spot open in the secondary. So it's a good thing.
But you know what, too? It's like a win-win for Miami because from an academic standpoint, you're getting guys that graduated. So, you know, this isn't one of those, well, maybe he can get this point or these, you know. So you're getting graduate transfers. So that helps from an academic standpoint. And then from a maturity standpoint, I think that's tremendous because you're getting guys who are 23, maybe 22, 23, mixing them with kids that are 18, 19 who are just, you know, who are pups. So from a standpoint, and Joe Zagacki made this good point because this is, Chad, what they've been doing in basketball for a number of years. In fact, Coach Al, Coach Larrañaga down at University of Miami has parlayed it as much as anybody because he's getting all these guys who are, you know, maybe have a year left to play, you know, of eligibility, but they're 21, 22 years old and they're older. And, you know, while there you got all these North Carolinas and Dukes and Kentuckys that are one and done, you know, more times than not. Remember when Miami went real far, I think, to Sweet 16 that year, they had a senior-oriented team. With Shane Larkins, who transferred, and so I think there's a lot to it for football. You could kind of interject into your roster pretty good and pretty quick.
Yeah, there's no substitute for experience and maturity. I mean, isn't that what BYU's done? They've had like 30-year-olds on their football team.
Them in Kansas State.
Yeah, there you go. You had a bunch of older guys and you beat up on the younger guys.
30 years old.
I think the only, the only issue is if you really do load up too much on those transfers, then you kind of have a situation where the locker room could get affected, the chemistry in the locker room could get
right.
affected. So I'm sure Manny's aware of that, and he's making sure that the character and the mindset of the guys that he brings in is solid and top-notch because, you know, again, you could, you know, there's guys that let's tell you how, from a player's perspective, certain guys leave, whether that's graduation or whatever, and you start feeling like, you know, all right, I'm in pretty good position to start here. And then, you know, some other guy comes in out of nowhere that you weren't expecting. It could kind of, you know, mess with the mind frame of some guys. You know, of course, you expect to compete at a place like Miami, but it's like knowing that last piece of cake is in the refrigerator, man. You go and open it up and somebody in the house ate it. So you got to be careful with that part of it.
I agree with you. Chad Wilson joining us, Gridiron Studs, does recruiting, does a lot of things, promotes a lot of kids, also teaches, former defensive back. Speaking about that, your two sons, first of all, Quincy, who's with Indianapolis, and I know I talked to your wife, Carmen, about him the other day, kind of adjusting to life as a grown-up now. Talk about how he's doing and how he's progressing.
Yeah, and on that note of life as a grown-up, he recently bought a home.
I heard.
And so he's been out. Yeah, he's been out with his mom all day
shopping.
Trying to shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't know how that process is working for him. He's probably pretty worn out because, you know, she'll take him just about everywhere. So I think it was great for him and for a very young Colts team, which includes a lot of South Florida kids, Anthony Walker Jr. And quite a few others, to get as far as they did in the playoffs. No one expected this.
Right.
I kind of even went into the season thinking if they go in 8-8 after 4-12 last year, then that's a good season. And lo and behold, they get in the playoffs and win a game end up going to the second round. And playing a very good Kansas City team. And we went out there, by the way, in that full snow.
Oh, boy.
Carmen's not a fan of the snow. But it was a great experience for us, his parents, great experience for him. And I think that team could only be better next year, having gone through that. And then Marco, as you know, has been rehabbing from the knee injury in the second week of the season. And, you know, leave it to Marco to be way ahead of schedule. So He even put out some videos on bowl week of him running, and he looked pretty good. Kind of surprised me. I thought he'd be jogging, but he was in a pretty nice sprint. And so I started getting all these messages about, is he playing? Is he playing? And you know, I deliberately didn't answer any of them just to keep everything in limbo up to game time.
So, well, I know he's
had a little fun with it.
I know Marco's anxious to get back. What a nice deal they had last year. Tremendous boost to the program. Again, Chad, people want to follow what you're doing and how they check you out and, you know, follow all the good things you're doing.
Yeah, well, first of all, Gridiron Studs and the Gridiron Studs app, I'm really pleased with how that's been going. Tremendous amount of prospects from across the country signed up last year. So, you know, I would encourage all of the prospects out there, whether you're a five-star or you're a no-star, if you're a five-star, man, building up your fan base and you know, getting other colleges involved in it. You want to have options. It's only in your best interest to do so. If you go to the App Store, you put in Gridiron Studs, and you go to the Google Play Store and you put in Gridiron Studs, you'll find the app there. You know, download it, create a profile, add your highlight video, and fill in all the necessary information. It takes about 5 minutes, and college coaches and fans can find you there. And of course, All Eyes DB Camp, training DBs down here. You know, I'm really happy with the way that's going, and training a couple of pros, including Xavier Howard, who's on his way to the Pro Bowl.
Nice.
Very proud of him. And just started work with Minka Fitzpatrick this week, so I'm really happy about that. And
good stuff.
Excited about all the guys that I'm able to, you know, be able to not only train but also mentor and share whatever wisdom I could bring their way.
Excellent.
To as well.
All right. I appreciate you stopping in. We'll keep following you, and thanks so much. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, Larry, I always appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Chad Wilson, University of Florida dad right now. And speaking about University of Florida, I see Corey Benner's with us. And what a great guy, Gators territory. Corey, thanks so much for stopping in. We just got off the phone with Chad Wilson, whose son is working his way back with the Gators. This is a good time to be a Florida Gator, coming off a really good season, and the recruiting first recruiting cycle did well. Welcome in, and wow! What a pleasure to be working up in Gainesville right now.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I think a lot of people, to start off, people are kind of questioning Dan Mullen's ability to recruit at the end. I know they didn't get off to like the biggest splash early on in the during the spring and early summer, but right now, on Rivals, they're sitting with the number 10 recruiting class. That number could obviously go up. Obviously, you got Elam still on the board. You know, Mark Anthony Richards. Obviously, you said about a handful of kids left on the board, and Florida feels fairly good with a lot of those kids. So, obviously, that number could definitely increase. And, it's a great time right now if you're a Florida fan. A lot of exciting stuff happening.
You know, I take a look back a year, and where Florida was in one of those little fluxes, and you know, they had just gotten a new head coach, and he was trying to work some of his old magic from the past, and a lot of the kids probably didn't remember him. But things happened. I mean, when you win, Corey, things change, and you certainly know that. And up in Gainesville this year, everything came together. Their quarterback situation improved. Their running game improved. Their defense, even though you lose a really solid defensive back the year before, and then you lose Marco Wilson, so you had to kind of go to depth. Were you surprised with the depth that Florida had already on hand?
Yeah, fairly. I think overall, I think at DB, I think everyone kind of knew the talent they had. Obviously, I think with Marco and CJ and all of them, obviously the talent was there. They're going into their sophomore years. But overall, I think it was just stability of everyone buying in with the new scheme, because now they're running a 3-4. There's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of guys like CeCe Jefferson, who had to kind of change up their role. It was more not the talent that they had on the roster, but their ability to make changes and buy in under that staff in just such a limited time. And obviously some things went their way as far as in the transfer portal. I know obviously Trayvon Grimes, Van Jefferson, some of those guys were made eligible. That obviously helps quite a bit. But overall, I think it's their ability just to buy into the scheme. And just overall, I know with Dan Mullen, I know some of the players said under Coach Mack that, you know, he was kind of more laid back with them. He wasn't kind of as assertive as Dan Moore, where he really keeps you accountable. And if you make your mistake, like, obviously you have to be accountable for that. So overall, I just think it's their ability to buy in. And obviously in this game, you had a lot of breakout guys as well, like Ja'Kai Polite, who obviously heading to the draft, had an amazing year this year. And obviously in that one season, I think overall with Felipe Franks, I know Some people obviously still have questions. I mean, on paper, he had a great season. And obviously, I think under Dan Mullen, if you compare his stats just from last year to this year, it's remarkable the improvements he's made with Felipe and the other quarterbacks. And knowing him as a quarterback guru, it's really no surprise, but it's remarkable just looking at the stats on paper, just how much improvements Frank's made under Dan Mullen just his first year. And I know a lot of people are eager to see now how it's going to look in year two.
Yeah, no doubt. Corey Bender joining us, Gators territory. You know, you take a look also at the first set of recruits that they got in. It's a pretty good list. I mean, you know, you look down and there's a lot of need there. You look at the coaching staff, did they lose two coaches in the last couple of days?
Charlton Warren went to Georgia and then Sal Cesaria, he went to Alabama. So, yeah, they're fresh off too. UT coaching changes. They got Torian Gray, who now fills the DB role, but yeah, they're still in the hunt right now for a D-line coach.
And it's crazy because the dominoes fall, and you know Alabama's cupboard right now is kind of bare for coaches because, you know, everybody else is taking them. So everything is like that trickle down. So, and you know as well as I do that if Alabama comes, I mean, it's awfully tough for you to say, you know, I'll have to pass at this time, but because, you know, it's a career move. It's a career change. Look at all the guys that have coached at Alabama where they are now. Obviously, Miami has an offensive coordinator that was slated to be in the same role with Alabama. So you take a look, Corey, and I think it's especially at University of Florida, you got the core of the coaches still there, the guys who recruit very well that are still on hand. How do you look at the next couple of weeks? Are they closing in on a couple of guys that you mentioned a couple with Elam, and you also mentioned Mark Anthony Richards, but anybody else that the Gators may grab from somebody else or maybe pull, you know, one of those last minute kind of deals?
Yeah, so another one's Charles Moore out of Mississippi. He was actually arguably the top defensive lineman during Under Armour week. He committed to Dan Mullen last summer, not this past summer, but two summers ago when Dan Mullen was still at Mississippi State. And he actually visited two weekends ago. So that's a kid, I think, comes down to Florida and Auburn. More of a strong side DN, about 6'4", 270. Could play inside as well. That's the guy I think is more of a coin flip right now. I've heard a lot of great things in regards to where Florida stands with him. And I know, obviously, Kyir Elam, he's a top of the wish list right now. And what's interesting with that is Charlton Warren was a DB's coach at Florida. Now he's in Athens at Georgia. And obviously, Georgia's obviously the main competition right now for Elam. So that's like something right now. If you ask my opinion as today, I still like Florida for him, but it makes things that much more interesting now that now that Warren is now in Athens. So it's going to be interesting, but I think with Torian Gray, he's already scheduled to meet with Elam here in the near future, and obviously that's going to be a key visit right now during the home stretch. But overall, I mean, Richards, I mean, you already mentioned him, those two, and obviously Charles Moore. I mean, those three guys are at the top of the wish list, and there's other guys you're going to be bringing in, like Chris Bogle, he's supposed to visit this weekend as well. I don't like Forrest Kenton as much with him. You know, they definitely have a lot of work to do. But obviously, they get a few in-state targets left on the board. But obviously, Dan Mullen has been very big on expanding and making Florida more of a national brand. And obviously, you see with Chris Steele, you know, five-star corner out of California. So obviously, they're trying to get the top guys in-state. But Dan Mullen's staff has really been obviously emphasizing is making Florida a national brand, and it's starting to pay off.
Yeah, no, it seems like it. I know that everybody's going to want to follow you in the next couple of weeks. How are they going to do that, Corey? Give them some ways to follow you on Twitter as well as go to the website as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me at Corey_Bender, Corey, then _Bender, Bender. And then obviously you can head over to our website over at the Rivals Network, GatorsTerritory.com, and S at the end of Gator.
Nice.
And obviously, we'll be pumping up a lot of content over the next couple of days, and we'll also be at Pylon in Orlando, the 7-on-7 event this weekend. And obviously, there's a lot of Florida targets in that, so a lot of coverage coming as far as official visits and underclassmen. So a lot of stuff going on.
Good stuff, as always, man. I love talking to you. We'll have you on in a couple more weeks. We'll kind of reevaluate everything that went on. We're gonna have a wish we can get you down here. We're gonna have a national signing night party, but I know you'll be real busy. And again, man, thanks for everything that you do, and we'll hook up real soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Larry. Have a great night, man.
Good stuff. Corey Bender, Gators territory. There's really nobody better. This guy is just a hard worker at every turn. He's everywhere and loves the game. He loves the game. When we come back, we wrap things up. Hurricane fans, you don't want to miss this. Andrew Ivins will join us next.
Radio.com.
Back to wrap things up with you on a Tuesday evening, South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Larry Bluestein, Danny G. Wrapping it up on a Tuesday evening. Wow. Sounds like my old DJ days, way back in the days. But thanks so much to Chad Wilson from Gridiron Studs and Corey Bender. Sounds like I should sing to the song from Gators territory. But everybody's been waiting for Andrew Ivins. I'm telling you, texting today and Joe Zagacki and everybody wanting to know what's going on with the U. And nobody is plugged in more than Andrew Ivins. He joins us this evening. Andrew, talk away, because everybody's waiting to hear all the information that's coming out of Coral Gables and the portal and everything that has to go along with it. And you have all the answers.
Yeah, man. I don't cover recruiting anymore. I cover the transfer portal. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, I want to see the new cards with the transfer portal as part of your job requirement. But you've been plugged in a lot of information. Let's talk about some of the guys who are looking as grad transfers, whether it be in the portal or just coming here, and that you know is pretty much for sure.
Well, I think the one everyone should know right off the bat is Chigozie Nuruka, the graduate tackle from UCLA. He just visited this past weekend, spent 2 days in Coral Gables. By all accounts, things are definitely trending in the Hurricanes' direction. I know Jess Simpson, the defensive line coach, flew out to Los Angeles today to see him. So he's a senior-to-be, a guy with 1 year left, someone that they're hoping can come in and kind of make an impact right away, kind of replace some of that production left by Gerald Willis with him graduating and some of those other guys. So he's also considering Florida, but right now, if I had a crystal ball for graduate transfers, it would definitely be on Miami for him. The two other names kind of making the rounds that everyone knows about is Trayvon Hill, the defensive end out of Virginia Tech. He played there for 3 years, started 27 games, got in an altercation with a coach midseason when they were losing to Old Dominion, and he got dismissed. So he's taking 18 credit hours right now, hoping to graduate in May and play his final year somewhere else. And Miami's definitely interested. There's some mutual interest there. And then the final one, the one that everyone was talking about today, is Jalen Phillips. Another kid out of UCLA, former five-star defensive end / outside linebacker. He was actually the number one player in the country, according to multiple recruiting services, 2 years ago. So still a ways to go with that one, but those are the three that everyone is talking about and the ones everyone should know.
Andrew, how do we credit the West Coast connection to Brevin Jordan? You know, because he's kind of gotten this band together that includes two other Gorman high school kids and maybe a little West Coast flair. And remember, the quarterback at Gorman, I believe, last year, the year before, is at UCLA now. So maybe some of these little end roads. How do you look at these West Coast guys? And all of a sudden, Miami really doesn't get many West Coast kids.
They don't. I think Brevin certainly helped, but let's give credit where it's due, and that's to Manny Diaz. I mean, he's done a great job of figuring out this transfer portal probably a little bit better than some of these other coaches out there. And is that just a product of how the situation's played out with the early signing period and just needing a new influx of talent? Yeah, but he's making Miami a cool place to be right now with Tate Martell and Bubba Bolden. So he's got some positive momentum, and I think when kids see that and they hear that and they see this direction and the energy that Diaz is bringing, I think it's real attractive. And you also got to think about this with the Jalen Phillips and Tate Martell and Brevin Jordan. All these kids play together in all these camps and all-star games when they're in high school. So that definitely helps. And Brevin's a good ambassador for the university, so yeah. that is helping.
Yeah, I would say so. Andrew Ivins joining us, 247 Sports, also Inside the U. You take a look also at some of these kids now, these next group, this 2019 class that has 2 weeks from tomorrow. Who do you hear? I mean, anybody that may, I know we talk Chris Bogle, we talk a few other guys that, even though Chris Bogle's, committed, I don't think he's signed. You take a look at a couple of these other 29, do they figure they can close with some of these high school seniors that maybe they could wrestle away from somebody else or somebody that they've had in mind for a while?
That's the plan right now. I mean, you mentioned Chris Bogle. Miami sent the entire defensive staff to see him on Monday. He's committed to Alabama, but to be honest, I would call that a soft commitment. I mean, this thing could go any way. A lot of people think when he put on the hat live on NBC a couple weeks ago, he kind of rushed things. I would agree with that. I mean, I think that that one could go any way. Really, they're actually searching for another quarterback right now. New offensive coordinator Dan Enos, he was out in Texas today to meet with Peyton Matocha, the three-star quarterback in the Houston area. He has got a big senior season from him. He's kind of flown under the radar a little bit. Not, I wouldn't say polished, but there's definitely some upside with him. So he's going to take an official visit to Miami this weekend. Hurricanes would love to maybe make a move there. Another guy that's going to be on campus is Mark Anthony Richard, the athlete from Wellington. Obviously, Amon Richard's younger brother. He just spent this past weekend at Georgia. He's already also taken official visits to Penn State, Auburn, and Florida. So this is a five-team battle now, but Miami's getting the last crack, and new running back coach Eric Hickson has been recruiting him for a while now. So if they can pull him, that would be big. And then another guy we got to talk about is Christian Williams, the cornerback out of Alabama, top 247 kid, another kid who's committed to Alabama, but they're in a bit of a numbers crunch, so he might not have a spot in 2 weeks. So Miami's actually seeing him as well today. So Mike Rump's doing a great job there. So there's a lot of big fish in play. I know everyone wants to talk about the transfer portal, but 2 weeks from 2 weeks from now, they could actually end up signing some pretty talented kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I mean, because, you know, that's, you know, a lot of these kids like the Tate Martells and such, they're going to have to sit out. So we're looking at the kids who could immediately plug in. One of the kids that you talked about, and I'll give you credit. I mean, I watched him in the past, but you had gone up to Vero Beach to watch Jafar Harvey. And I know that you and I talked and you were just blown away. Is he that type of kid that can come in and be in the mix in opening day?
I think so. I mean, if you look back to the past couple of years and this Manny Diaz's scheme, Greg Russo, John Garvin, those weren't early enrollees. And I think Harvey's a little bit further developed than them. And both those guys were online to play. I mean, obviously, Greg Russo, he got hurt this past year, so he got kind of derailed. But John Garvin played as a freshman. So I think Harvey's a little bit more mature than those two, has had a little bit more coaching, and he's coming in. He's already on campus. He's going through the strength program with new strength coach David Feely. He's working with Jess Simpson. I think he's a guy who will definitely be in that nine-man rotation, and Miami needs that. I mean, they're going to lose Joe Jackson, so I think he's absolutely the real deal. I know we're coming out with our new top 247 on Wednesday. I think he didn't move up or down in there. He didn't play any All-Star games, but definitely one of the gems of the class for the Canes.
Andrew, finally, you get a chance to talk to a lot of the kids, and what's the feedback been on the new coaches? I mean, you mentioned Eric Hickson, who I've known forever, and you take a look at now the kid and with a new offensive coordinator in Enos, and what's been the feedback that you've gotten from some of these kids?
It's been really positive. I actually wrote a story a few days ago after spending the weekend at the local 7-on-7 tryouts, the South Florida Express, and there was a lot of kids, just a lot of buzz for Miami. Now, I know everyone would say, well, you cover Miami, you're asking them about Miami, but I was talking to kids who, like a Derek Wingo, who's committed to Penn State, probably going to end up out of state, and he was saying, hey, I'm a kid who's looking on social media. I saw what Manny Diaz did with that team meeting, with that WWE team meeting, and it's kind of giving me like a, hey, maybe I should, you know, check this out. There's some new blood in that program. So I think it's good. I think a lot of kids, especially the offensive kids, I mean, they know Dan Enos. Those kids, they watch college football. He had a hand in that offense. He helped develop Tua. So they think they're going to throw the ball around. So the buzz is definitely real.
Good stuff. Well, Andrew, as always, you come strong. We'll be watching. I know the next 2 weeks are going to be just huge, and then you never know what happens in the off season. We'll be following on Inside the U, Andrew Ivins, anywhere you can. 247 Sports, you're everywhere. And again, thanks so much. And get back to your bodybuilding, man, because I want to sponsor you, because you've got a good career ahead of you. You're a hard worker, man. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon. All right, later. Bye.
Andrew Ivins, what a great show! It really was. I was excited about the show from the standpoint of giving all of you an opportunity. Next week we'll bring FSU into the mix. We'll get FAU, FIU into the mix. See how they're doing as we're closing things. That's going to do it. Thanks to Jason Beatty from UCF, Chad Wilson, Gridiron Studs, Corey Bender from Gators Territory, and Andrew Ivins from the U. And he came strong. Danny G, as always, we'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.